time now for the Good Friday service here on WPGW Radio. Tonight's Fort Recovery Community Good Friday service from the Fort Recovery Nazarene Church is being brought to you by Kalp Pharmacy, Cooper Farms, and by the St. Henry Bank. And now to the live Good Friday service at the Fort Recovery Nazarene Church.
Good evening. We'd like to welcome you to the Fort Recovery Good Friday service this evening. My name is Dave Nicholson. I'm the minister out at First Church of Christ, south of town. And as we begin tonight, we'd like to ask that you would put your cell phones on vibrate. That'd be greatly appreciated. Also want to welcome our radio audience from WPGW as they listen in tonight. Our sponsors tonight that have helped bring this about is support, looking here, is St. Henry Bank, Kalp Pharmacy, Cooper Farms, and looking over this, and that's it, I think. All right. Again, we'd like to welcome you. Also, tonight, as the treasurer for the Ministerial Association, we would like to invite you to participate in the ministry of the churches here in the Fort Recovery region. There's an offering box as you go out the door. The last 2.5 years I've been the treasurer, we have given out to individuals $4,500, just kind of let you know. Most of that, $2,000, has been scholarships. And, of course, graduation is right around the corner. And we were just talking beforehand about those scholarships. So we've given $2,000. In that, one person had a major medical need, so there was $750 we gave there. Utilities, auto repair, and rent that we've been able to help individuals through your generosity, and so the individuals over the years that have given. So we are greatly appreciative of that. We've also this year gained through application, we are now a 501c3 nonprofit legal organization. So did that, so we're going to be moving our funds to the credit union because we only need $5 to keep in there. So the financial institutions, they say we need to keep $1,000. Well, that's an awful lot of money if somebody needs their electricity turned back on or something like that to have just sitting in an account. $5, that's nothing. So we're moving to a credit union. Let's go ahead and open with prayer tonight. Father God, as we do come tonight, we just give thanks for this opportunity to come together as a community to praise our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For it was on this day so many years ago that we celebrate this night because Sunday is coming. And he took our punishment for our sins. The innocent paid for the guilty. So tonight we celebrate the gift that you've given us, and that is your Son. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, I was encouraged to be sure that I share my name. As people on the radio are listening, they won't know who's up here. My name is Kate Ratliff, and I'm one of the pastors here with my husband. And tonight we're going to maybe journey through Good Friday a little differently than we've done before together, and it's going to be beautiful. And I grew up in a house where we couldn't celebrate Christmas without knowing that Easter was coming and vice versa. And so tonight we're going to start just by remembering the miracle of Jesus's birth And in Luke chapter 2, verses 6 through 16, it says, "While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there were no guest rooms available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger." Love incarnate, love divine, star and angels gave the sign. Bow to babe on bended knee, the Savior of humanity. Unto us a child is born. He shall reign forevermore. Noel, Noel, come and see what God has done. Son of man, there before the world began, born to suffer, born to save, born to raise us from the grave, Christ the everlasting Lord. Shall reign forevermore. Noel, Noel, come and see what God has done. Noel, Noel, the story.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you all for being with us tonight as we celebrate this time of a Good Friday. I'm tasked with the job of telling the story of Jesus' ministry as we find in the Gospel of Luke. My name is Pastor Jim. I'm the pastor from the Methodist Church here in town. And even though Jesus' ministry started here in this story that we find in Luke's Gospel, we know in our hearts that his ministry was more than 3 short years here on earth. It is still alive and is still well with us as we celebrate him. Hear these words from Luke's Gospel, chapter 3, 2 through 6. During the high priesthood of Ananias and Caiaphas, the word of God came to this John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went to all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all the people will see God's salvation. And then Jesus came to be baptized. The people were waiting expectantly and were wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. And John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened up. And the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice from heaven came, you are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Now Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. And in the words of our Savior, clearly defining just who he is, John chapter 6, 35 through 40. And then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me shall never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still do not know or do not believe. But those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall not lose none of those he has given me, but to raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them all up on the last day.
I'm Pastor Robin Owen, pastor at Trinity Lutheran here in town, as well as the other three churches of the Wabash Valley Cooperative Ministry. And I have been given the honor of sharing what Paul says is the thing of first importance, which is the meal that Jesus shared with his friends and continues to share with his friends. We'll read the... I just lost my... There we go. This is from Matthew's gospel. On the first of the days of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Where do you want us to prepare your fast Passover meal?" He said, "Enter the city. Go up to a certain man and say, 'The teacher says my time is near. I and my disciples plan to celebrate the Passover meal at your house.'" The disciples followed Jesus' instruction to the letter and prepared the Passover meal. After sunset, Jesus and the 12 were sitting around the table. During the meal, he said, "I have something hard but important to tell you. One of you is going to hand me over to the conspirators." They were stunned and then began to ask one after another, "It isn't me, is it, Master?" Jesus answered, "The one who hands me over is someone who I eat with daily, one who passes me food at the table. In one sense, the Son of Man is entering into a way of treachery, well marked by the scriptures. No surprises here. In another sense, that man who turns him in turns traitor to the Son of Man. Better never to have been born than to do this." Then Judas, already turned traitor, said, "It isn't me, is it, Rabbi?" Jesus said, "Don't play games with me, Judas." During the meal, Jesus took and blessed the bread, broke it, and gave it to his disciples. "Take, eat. This is my body." Taking the cup and thanking God, he gave it to them. "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood, God's new covenant, poured out for many people for the forgiveness of sins. I'll not be drinking wine from this cup again until that new day when I'll drink it with you in the kingdom of my Father." And so now we do as Jesus said. We take the bread. We give thanks. And we share it together. This is the body of Christ given for you. Again, Jesus said, "This cup is the new relationship with God made possible through my blood. Receive it, all of you, for the forgiveness of sin." May the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Yes, amen.
Oh, the blood, crimson love, price of life's demand. Shameful sin placed on him, the hope of every man. Oh, the blood of Jesus washes me. Oh, the blood of Jesus shed for me. What a sacrifice that saved my life. Yes, the blood, it is my victory. Save your son, Holy One, slain so I can live. Oh, see the Lamb, the great I Am, who takes away my sin. blood of Jesus shed for me. What a sacrifice that saved my life. Yes, the blood, it is my victory.
Take the bread of life, broken for all my sin. Your body crucified to make me whole again. I will recall the cup poured out in sacrifice to trade the sinner's end for your new covenant. Hallelujah. I'll live my life in hallelujah, your promise I won't forget. I'll walk salvation's road with fear and trembling. Your way born as my own, as Christ is formed in me. Hallelujah. I'll live my life in remembrance. Hallelujah. Your promise I won't forget. If ever I should lose my way, if ever I deny your grace, remind me of the price you paid. Hallelujah, I live in remembrance. You've been so, so good to me. You've been so, so good to me. Oh, to think where I would be if not for you, if not for you. You've been so, so good to me. You've been so, so good to me. Oh, to think where I would be if not for you, if not for you. As far as heights reach from the depths, as far as east is from the west, so far your grace has carried me. Until I see you face to face, until at last I won my race, remind me you're not finished yet. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I live in remembrance.
I am Pastor Quentin Elzey, most commonly known as Pastor Q, from Christ Chapel, most commonly known as the Red Door Church. And I'm reading from the Gospel of Luke, his account of Jesus' death. As they led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way from the country, and put the cross on him, and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the barren women, the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say to us, Say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if men do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him, "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said. Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth. Today, you will be with me in paradise. It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, for the sun stopped shining. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, Surely this was a righteous man. When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes. But they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment.
Down the Via Dolorosa in Jerusalem that day, the soldiers tried to clear the narrow street, but the crowd pressed in to see the man condemned to die on Calvary. He was bleeding from a beating. There were stripes upon his back, and he wore a crown of thorns upon his head. And he bore with every step the scorn of those who cried out for his death. Down the Via Dolorosa, called the Way of Suffering, like a lamb came the Messiah, Christ the King. But he chose to walk that road out of his love for you and me. Down the Via Dolorosa, all the way to Calvary. Church, let's sing together about that old rugged cross that we are so thankful for tonight. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, the old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For 'twas on the Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In the old rugged cross, stained with love so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I'll cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. He'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling would like to stand or stay seated or kneel at your seat or kneel at the altar, you are invited just to worship him tonight, church. Worship him freely. We are at the cross. Sing with me. There's a place.
There's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide.
Yes.
Where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. cross, at the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all of you. I'm in all of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you. I owe all to you, Jesus. There's a place where sin and shame are powerless. Amen. Where my heart has peace with God and forgiveness, where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, at the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all of you. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my sin rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns His face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon His shoulders, Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom. But this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom.
Q, could you listen to the first verse, Paul?
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure.
Yes.
That he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure.
Yes, amen.
How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away. As wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory.
Amen. Father, we're in this moment. We don't want to pass through this. We feel your presence in this place. God, we ask that you would do only what you can do in this moment. We have come to remember what happened some thousands of years ago at the cross, where just a week in Jerusalem changed all of eternity forever. And Lord, we don't want to pass this moment up. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, my name is Brad. I'm the new guy in town. You guys are wonderful looking. It's an honor to be here. It was interesting to watch the other pastors. They have so much more experience than me, but they were so kind to let me do or make me do. I'm not sure which one it is. So anyway, it was interesting to watch the other pastors reading the scripture. They're sitting like this, and you can just tell they want to preach. And so I saw Q over there doing it too. He's like, ooh, let me at him. But anyway, it is an honor to get to share for just a moment. I'm not going to take long at all. I wasn't going to say that because every time I say that, I go way long. But I'm really going to move on. What I'd like to do is, there was a scene that we passed over. We read through the birth, the call, the Last Supper, and then, of course, the way to the cross. I'd like to point your attention to the Garden of Gethsemane.
Mark 14, 32 through 42, it says this. In context, too, Jesus has dinner with his disciples, and then he goes off to the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's praying to the Father, and this is so profound. We get to listen in to what his prayer was looking like. Mark 14, 32 through 42, it says this. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." He said to them, "Stay here, keep watch." Going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. Have you ever fallen to the ground in desperation? Maybe not physically, but spiritually. You know what I'm talking about? Where God, you have to make a way. Coming straight to God. He says, "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Simon, he said to Peter, "Are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Once more, he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go." And here comes my betrayer. Now here, we see Jesus like we haven't seen him before. You know, we're used to confident Jesus. The scripture just told us that his soul was sorrowful. He was distressed. And yet, here he is before God and he asks, he says, "Father, you can do anything. You can do anything. Take this cup from me. I know you can do anything." In fact, he says, "Everything is possible for you." I've been here before in my life, reminding God how powerful he is and how mighty he is. "God, if you need to know something today, I know you can do this. I need you to show up. I know you're able. You've done it for me. Do it for them. I know you're able." And we see Jesus in this way. He's distressed and he's sorrowful. Everything is possible. He's calling out to Jesus and he says, "Yet not what I will though, but what you will." Now Jesus, he prays this three times. I'm a dad. I got a beautiful little boy. I'm proud of him. His name is Judah. He's 19 months old. I'm a dad. I cannot imagine my son begging me. The other gospels say that Jesus was to the point of sweating drops of blood. So here we have it. Jesus is sorrowful, distressed, and to the point of sweating drops of blood, saying, "Dad, you can do all things. Take this cup from me. Let this hour pass from me. Take this away." Three times, guys. Take it away. Take it away. Take it away. Jesus is in this. And so we see him sorrowful, reminding God, "You can do all things, take it away." And the Bible says this, that the Father loved you and me so much. The Father, God, loved you and me so much that his Son coming to him, his only Son, coming to him, begging to him, "Take this cup from me, take it away." The Bible says that for God so love the world. Have you ever seen somebody with a case of the so loves? You know, like the parents at the volleyball game, like yelling at the ref, and the ref's like, "I don't get paid enough for this." You know, at the diamonds, yelling at the ump, "That wasn't a strike. Come on, ump, wake up." You know what I'm talking about? And you're like, "Dude, you just sat next to me in church, dude. Calm down. Bring it down." Case of the so loves, soccer moms and soccer dads running the field. "Go, go, go," running the field with them. A case of the so loves. Well, the Bible says that God so loved me and you. Wow. It says something profound. It says that God demonstrated his love for us, because true love, it has action with it too. You know what I'm saying? Don't just tell me you love me. Show me that you love me. God demonstrated his own love for us, that while we were still yet sinners, Christ died for us. What that means is when you and I was in the mud, you know what I'm talking about? I'm glad I'm getting some head nods in here. I really am, because that means there's no perfect people in here. And I'm thankful for that. I had a life before Jesus. I was rebellious, doing my own thing. I was letting the world raise me. But I had a praying mom and a praying grandma. I heard an amen. I love that. Anybody praying for their grandkids? I want to encourage you, pray for your grandkids. There's power in that. Two, she's like, yes, Lord. I'm praying. Lord, touch them. I know you can do everything. Touch them, Lord. Touch them. God demonstrated his love for us that even while we were in the mud, Christ died for us. One of my favorite verses. I know every pastor says that when he's preaching a message, but one of my real favorite verses, I mean this, is 2 Corinthians 5:21. He became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. You know, righteousness, that's a big fancy Christianese word, you could say, for being made right with God. He became sin for you and for me so that we might become the righteousness of God. Man, there's power in that word might, isn't there? I feel like there was a time in my life where I might not have came back to God. But God demonstrated his love for me that even when Jesus was falling to the ground saying, God, take this cup from me. Take it from me. He says, yeah, but I got Brad in mind. I got them in mind too. You got to do this, son. You know why you're here. You got to do this. But God, can't you take, he came back, right? Like I can imagine Jesus in this moment. He comes back and he's like, man, I could really use some encouragement. And finds this guy sleeping. You got to be kidding me. It's like, yeah, whatever. And then comes back to God and then comes back and he's sleeping again. And man, put yourself in this moment. Yeah, but I got Brad in mind. And Jesus, you have to go. You have to go. We sing a song called Waymaker. You guys know that song? Because of what Jesus did, he made a way for us to get made right with God. It's nothing that you and I could ever do on our own. You can't come to church enough. You can't tithe enough. You can't serve on the board enough. It's a free gift that came from him so that we might become the righteousness of God. Bible says that when we repent, we come to him by faith, we are forgiven, made as white as snow. Wow, what a beautiful picture. White as snow, without a blemish. That means you and I, when we put our trust into God, when we repent and we say, God, we're turning from that old way and we're turning straight to you. We're putting our faith and our trust in you. The Bible says that when we do that, it's as if we never sinned. Fancy Christian theological word is justified. Just if you had never sinned. Could you imagine that we serve a God that big, an almighty, a holy God, would send his son to make a way for you and for me? And you might say, but Brad, I've really messed up. The Bible says you can't out-sin the love of God. You cannot. And if you feel like you're running, or if you feel like you know someone's running, aren't you thankful that when you were running, he didn't stop pursuing you? Oh, I'm so thankful for that. I was raised in church, but I wanted to do my own thing. So I went off to do my own thing. And even when I went off, he came after me. He's coming after the world still. You know how I know that? Because we're still here. That means he's not done. Amen. And how powerful is it that we have 5 churches represented in here tonight? There's 1,600 people in this town, right? At least according to what I Googled. There's 1,600 people in this town. Is that counting the dogs too? I haven't quite seen that many people. The Bible says he so loved you and me that some thousands of years ago, Jesus, he took the cross for you and for me. That's what this day is about. Nothing more, nothing less. It's all about the cross. And I want to tell you something. The cross is love. He had you in mind. He had you in mind. That's why he did it. And that's why God said, I can't take this from you. This is your purpose. I'm so thankful. If there's ever a moment in your life that you're questioning God's love for you, you can always come back to the Garden of Gethsemane. You can always come back to the cross and be reminded how much God loves you. And it's profound. It's bigger than me and you, man. It's so big. He's just ready, like he's just there with us when we wake up, ready to spend the day with us. He so loves you as you are. He loves you as you are, but he loves you too much to keep you there. He loves you way too much to keep. He's got a plan for you, and he's got a purpose for you. That's why you're here. You're no happy accident. You can't slip into this world. God so loves you. We're going to watch a video, but before that, I'm going to pray. And yeah, let's pray. God, thank you. God, thank you so much for today. We do. We celebrate the cross today. We celebrate it because we already know that Easter's coming. And all of us ready to shout, ready to jump at Easter. Before that, we take a moment and remember. That's why we received communion tonight. Your body broken for us. Your blood shed for us. We remember tonight. God, forgive us for forgetting. It's the moments when we forget how saved we are and how much we're loved is when we become dangerous Christians because we start pointing fingers at people. So God, forgive us for the times that we have forgotten. And in this moment, we remember the cross. Thank you, God, for taking our place on the cross. Thank you for what it's like to have an abundant life with you. Not in material things, but in spiritual ways where you fill our cup to overflowing, like Pastor Jim said. God, we love you. We're excited to serve you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
It's Friday. Jesus is praying. Peter is asleep. Judas is betraying. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Pilate's struggling. The council is conspiring. The crowd is vilified. They don't even know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are running like sheep without a shepherd. Mary's crying. Peter is denying. But they don't know that Sunday's are coming. It's Friday. The Romans beat my Jesus. They robe him in scar. They crown him with thorns. But they don't know that Sunday's come. It's Friday. See Jesus walking to Calvary. His blood dripping. His body stumbling. And his spirit's burdened. But you see, it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The world's winning. People are sinning. And evil's grinning. It's Friday. The soldiers nailed my Savior's hands to the cross. They nailed my Savior's feet to the cross. And then they raised him up next to criminals. It's Friday. But let me tell you something. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are questioning what has happened to their king. And the Pharisees are celebrating that their scheming has been achieved. But they don't know. It's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. He's hanging on the cross, feeling forsaken by his Father, left alone and dying. Can nobody save him? Oh, it's Friday. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The earth trembles. The sky grows dark. My King yields his spirit. It's Friday. Hope is lost. Death has won. Sin has conquered. And Satan just a laugh. It's Friday. Jesus is dead. A soldier stands guard, and a rock is rolled into place. But it's Friday. It is only Friday. Sunday is a coming.
Sunday is coming. Amen. And encourage. He's coming again. Amen. All right. Sunday is coming. Encourage you to find a home to worship in or a place to worship this coming Sunday and every Sunday. But to celebrate, we have so much to be thankful for that we're on this side. I tell the church all the time, I'm glad no one brings me a lamb that I have to slit its neck and pour out the blood. I'm not a butcher. I like my meat at the store. So we're on this side. We get to come into the Father's presence. We don't need to be afraid because of what Jesus did on Friday, but on Sunday was the victory. So I encourage you. If you would like to give a donation to the Ministerial Association, the box is outside. If you send it to box 356, that will get to the checkbook for the Ministerial Association, too, here in town, Port Recovery. Let us pray. Father God, as we do come right now, we just give thanks for the time that you allow us to praise you and give you worship, that we can enter into your presence, into your kingdom through our faith, that as John wrote, these things were written that you may know that Jesus is the Christ. And so that is why we have the New Testament. We have the gospel records to show us the way to know your Son, and then the rest to how to live in the New Testament. So Father, as we come now, may you be with each of us as we celebrate your Son and the victory. We call it good because it was so good for us that our sins went to the cross. Our guilt is washed away by our faith in your Son, and so we can have that hope. Father, continue with the time of fellowship, and Father, that follows, and Father, we do give thanks for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to the Fort Recovery Community Good Friday service from the Nazarene Church in Fort Recovery. Tonight's special broadcast brought to you in part by Cooper Farms, St. Henry Bank, and Kalp Pharmacy in Fort Recovery, Ohio. This is WPGW Portland, Indiana.